Hey, what's happening, guys? It's Ezra here at Moto247, and welcome to another episode of the Moto247 Show. Today's episode is episode number 31 with guest Brandon Rayon today. If you don't know who Brandon Rayon is, he's a professional rider on the PRMX Cowie team. He made his pro debut last year during the outdoor season, and he's making his pro supercross debut coming up here shortly at Anaheim 1. And it's really hard to believe that Anaheim 1 is only, eight or nine days away. Well, it's actually a little bit less than that. So, anyways, it's under 2 weeks away, so really hard to believe, but definitely stoked for the Supercross season, and I think things are kind of slowly getting back to normal after the crazy pandemic stuff with, everything being paused and having, I think it was like 7 rounds at Salt Lake. Then last year, being at Atlanta for 3, back-to-back-to-back, with Atlanta and then Indy and a couple other places too. So yeah, hopefully we're getting back to normal right now and having a normal West and East Coast season, unlike the craziness that happened from that last year. So anyways, it was really good to have Brandon on here today and talk about some Supercross. But and also I have one announcement. We have added a co-host to our lineup. Really pumped to announce that Jordan Keel is joining our co-host lineup here for this season. I'm really pumped on that as well, because that means we're gonna be putting out some more episodes here, which I'm really pumped about, because as you guys know, we kind of do a couple then we take a long break, but with more of us available, we'll be definitely putting out some more episodes. So yeah, stay tuned for that, and anyways, hope you guys enjoy this episode. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. If you guys are looking to get graphics for your bike, your snowmobile, or even get a helmet wrap, I highly recommend you guys check out Prism Designs. Aaron at Prism does an amazing job. The graphics look so sick, and not only do they look really cool, the quality of those graphics are top-notch too, and I have a set on my pit bike, and man, they look cool. I have that Geico theme going on, and rest in peace, Geico Honda. Anyways, have that going, and it looks sick, but not only that, but the quality of them is really great, and that's something I was really pumped on, actually, because there's a lot of companies out there that the graphics look really cool, really clean. You know, you can post your picture on Instagram, and the bike looks so sick, but you have a weekend on the bike of doing a couple motos, and they're starting to peel and everything, and that's just really frustrating, and that's the complete opposite with Prism. The quality of them is really great, and they're at an affordable price too, so I highly recommend you guys check out Prism Designs. You can find them on Instagram at PrismDesigns_company. And then the link to their website is right there in their bio. So definitely recommend you check out Prism. And I also want to give a big shout out to our newest sponsor here on the show, which is Blood Lubricants. As you guys know, it's really important to have really good oil in your bike. Be like Joey Crown, Alex Ray, Kyle Chisholm, Logan Carnow, and the whole SGB Honda team, and many more by using Blood Lubricants. Go over to their website and use code MOTO247 for 25% off on most products they have on there. Again, that's MOTO247 and all caps MOTO247 for 25% off on most products on their website. Go over there. Their link to their website is in their Instagram bio. So go over there and find them on Instagram as well at Blood Lubricants.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. Like, you know, ever since COVID started, I never really stopped, you know, doing, like, going out and doing my normal life. And I've been lucky not to catch it, you know, which is kind of funny. But
yeah, it was weird. Know? Like, how did I not already get it by now? Like,
so this is your first time? That's crazy.
Yeah. Like, not like I was out doing a bunch, but, you know, nothing really, you know, not freaking out like a lot of the people, no.
I mean everyone started freaking out there for a second, you know. I mean, they still kind of do, but I mean, when it first happened, man, that was crazy.
Yeah, I went to Daytona Supercross, and it was stupid. Like, they had us I wasn't like on top of the track. They had us in the stands, and I was like, there's two of us in the section, no, four, me and my buddy, then another, like, a couple or something. Anyways, but yeah, we're the only ones in the whole section. We had to wear a mask outside, and I was, like, right in front. Like, the fly truck was right in front of us, so, like, you couldn't see anything. Just barely tell the colors of the bikes. But, yeah, hopefully it's not like this for like that for next year. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I hope not. I wonder how it's going to be, though. I mean, I know I have to actually get I have to get vaccinated. If not, I have to pay like $75 a round or some of that to get tested, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm just gonna get vaccinated. I you know.
Yeah, I was wondering how that was gonna go down because, you know, every sport's kind of going crazy right now, and yeah, it sucks. What, $75 fee every time. So if you're already vaccinated though, you don't need to get tested in each round.
No, that I mean I haven't really looked into it that much, but even though I mean it's only like 9 days away, but my you know, that's what my team owner said, you know, but he's already vaccinated. But then my mechanic, Joe, he was saying that he's the one that told me it was $75 to get tested if you're not vaccinated. So he actually went and got vaccinated, you know. So, you know, I mean, I didn't really read it from AMA itself, but that's what my mechanic told me.
Oh, yeah. It still sucks either way. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I wasn't planning on getting vaccinated. I mean, I haven't got it yet, so.
Yeah, this is what I think a lot of people are just waiting for more stuff to come out, and it's just, they're, I don't know if they're ever going to, you know, post anything about it or, like, go into detail, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And hopefully they do, but, yeah, they said that one thing, was it the CDC or whatever, like, they weren't going to publish anything until, like, 2055 or it's like 55 years down the road from now or something stupid like that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy. But
like, I try not to pay attention to like all that stuff. You know what I mean? I just focus on my racing and, you know, just, it just sucks that they affect, and like, it affected my riding big time when it first came out, you know, everything was getting shut down, yeah. Not shut in, but shut down.
Yeah. That's what I was talking to Josh Cartwright. I think it was like two episodes ago. And he was just saying how crazy it was, like, with the schedule is just so messed up, obviously, how they had every 1 week, and he just couldn't go ride, or, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
like, you know, where are you going to ride at Indy? I guess they have Ram Jam there, and that's in Ohio, I think, but.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm definitely doing my debut this year instead of last year. I'd have been pretty bummed the last year, but.
Yeah, things are freaking crazy now. It's like a big thing nowadays.
Yeah, for sure.
But anyways, how's the Supercross prep coming along with the team there?
Seems like the whole
team got a really good setup going on with all you guys and Justin Hill jumping on board.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is all new to me. I did ride for James Lee for a little bit, but I never lived at a training facility, had a full-on, you know, team, you know, like a mechanic with me 24/7, have, you know, I never, it's all new, like I said, and especially Supercross, that's new to me too. So like, you know, it was a whole bunch at once. And you know, when I first went out there, it was definitely getting to me a little bit, but you know, I got into the flow, and you know, every day I learned something new, just getting more comfortable every day on the bike, and especially a new bike too. I'm also on a new bike, which is you know, another thing added to the list. But I mean, you know, the whole team PRMX, I mean, Julian, you know, he tries to keep everything in order as much as he can, and, you know, that helps out a lot. So, you know, we're on a schedule, and then, you know, everything's really good, though. I'm loving it, and, you know, it's cool having, you know, the track, the gym, the shop, all in one place. So, I mean, that definitely is not a, you know, a big worry about, like, getting to the track or getting, you know, you know what I mean? You know what I'm trying to say? Yeah,
having everything that you need, like, all in one location. And
yeah, I mean,
everywhere.
Yeah, it also, you know, another thing, like you said, Justin Hill, like, man, having him on the team, I mean, it's really cool having him because, you know, he's been there, he's done it, he knows the rights, he knows the wrongs, and he'll take time out of his own day, out of his own schedule to help us, you know, newcomer rookies up, because there's also another rookie on the team, Julian Binnick. He's from Canada, and like he will take time out of his day to come out and help us out, because, like, you know, I'm struggling with the whoops. I got the rhythms down pretty quick, but the whoops, you know, is my weak point. But I'm getting way better on them, just because, you know, like Justin Hilson, they're like, oh, you need to do this, you need to do that. And I never really rode. I did Supercross Futures, but I never rode an actual actual scale Supercross track until, you know, I went out to south of the border. And it was new. I did crash a couple times, and it was cool having, you know, him, Matt Bishelia, and Matt Toth there, and just telling me like what I'm doing wrong, what I need to, you know, work on, and all that stuff.
And how was that transition from like the amateurs to the pro ranks? Because like we've talked about it like multiple times with other riders, just with you saying how like Supercross Futures wasn't like a full on, just the gnarliness of a Supercross track and everything. How was that like that transition of what they have for the Supercross future program now compared to like actually going out there on the real Supercross tracks they have?
Yeah, I mean, when I did the Supercross Futures, I never really practiced for them. I had a local guy from where I live in Northern California. His name was Brian Dominguez, and you know, he had a little track in his backyard, and you know, he built it as good as he can, but you know, it wasn't up to, you know, it wasn't scale, you know. You know, I kind of went out there to Supercross Futures just kind of winging it, and I did win, but they're pretty sketchy wins, you know. And I won at Anaheim, and Jason from Mad Moose Photos came up to me. He's like, dude, like that was a sick win, but that was the sketchiest win I've ever seen. And I was riding pretty sketchy just because I was sending it, but I didn't know the fundamentals of, you know, what I was supposed to do, how I was supposed to be on a bike. Because you know, amateur career, I raced motocross. I mean, that's all I've really raced before. And you know, motocross, you can just let it hang out. I mean, you just on the gas, off the back of the bike, you know, just wide open. And then when I first came out here, you know, I tried doing that, and I was really sketchy, and I was on the edge the whole time. Just, but I wasn't going fast on the edge. I was like, you know, mediocre. And still on the edge, like almost crashing. And I did go down a couple times, and you know, I had to slow down, learn all the fundamentals of, you know, how it's supposed to be. Like I was off, far off the back of the bike, you know, mostly the whole time I was off the back of the bike, which you can't be in Supercross. You know, you need to be in the middle, you know, with your weight, you know, your weight right in the middle. And you know, once I started getting the stuff down, I realized it, and it clicked for me, and I, you know, I just started feeling better and better, and smoother and smoother.
And that's cool too, going back to like what you said with everything at SOB and just all the training facilities that all these riders have access to now, and just to
Yeah.
get it down, because yeah, like you said, the whole amateur system's kind of like really weird, because you know, over here in the States, like our huge focus, well, you know, it's always outdoors and stuff too, but
Yeah.
the main focus, that I should say, is Supercross. And and you know, it's the opposite over in Europe with just moto. But it's like, so all those kids grow up riding these sketchy, gnarly European tracks, then they, you know, that's what they race when they get older. But over here, it's like you might see Supercross at Mineos, or you're for sure gonna see Supercross there. But like you might see a couple races, you know, growing up, that you're gonna be before you turn pro. This seems like super weird. Like I'm slow on a bike, so I have no experience in, like, you know, from my own end on that. But like, just can't imagine practicing something like riding outdoors your whole life, then like, oh, okay, yeah, you're turning pro. Here's a Supercross track. But
And you know, yeah, like you said, you know, like all these training facilities, like you see, you know, Hayden Deegan, you know, Dax and Bennick, you know, all of them have Supercross tracks, you know, at their house. So they actually grow up, you know, being able to ride it, you know, whenever they kind of want to. You know what I mean? Which, you know, people like me, like all I have like around me are, you know, local motocross tracks. So I never got to train on a Supercross track growing up. So now like literally like I've had like the last 3 months is like the only time I've really had on the Supercross track, you know?
yeah, just, I guess it's good that it seems like you got a really good setup going on, or with the Team TRMX, and are they taking over in Canada still? I was kind of following.
Yeah, they are based out of Canada, and the plan, I don't, like, I'm with them for a year, you know, as of right now. So I don't know exactly what the plan is for after Supercross, but, you know, he did mention something about Canada races, and, you know.
Yeah, it seems like they got a really good setup over there. Yeah. And so I've been around the Canadian scene a little bit going up. Over the border to go to Walton and stuff and watch everyone there. But, yeah, I saw them. What were they on the Gas for the last season, Canadians races? And,
yeah, they did pretty good. They killed it, I think.
Yeah, they didn't one rider, like, was battling up inside the top three of the MX up there. And that's
I've seen that.
Pretty sick. Like, did you see those tracks they had at Gopher?
I don't know, but I have, like, you know, it'd be funny. I'll be watching, like, Instagram reels, and then I'll see their team, you know, the guy, you know, the Gas Gases, and, you know, and then I'll see the PRMX on the side. I'm like, wait, like, that was, you know, that was their team.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Shoot, what do I have here? Oh, yeah, you just, was it the Asheville Barn Cross you just raced? Was that
I go? Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, like, arena cross races are, you know, they're pretty big out there. They kind of died off out here in, you know, in Northern California. Like, Northern California, like, they used to have, like, you know, the Amsoy arena cross and all that stuff. And I did, like, one or two of those, but, like, I sucked at them. But out here, I mean, in South Carolina, they had, you know, around that area, they had a lot of them. And, you know, we did a few of those. Like, I wanted just something that would help me out. And, you know, it's real tight, aggressive racing, you know, which is similar to Supercross, is tight, aggressive racing. So just everything was just way under scale, you know, like, really rolled and small. But it was cool getting in there and, you know, roughing it up with some of the, you know, the local pros out there. And, yeah, it was fun. I mean, I learned a lot, too, you know, like, just from racing against guys like Travis Sewell. I raced against Phil Nicoletti, too, at the last Barn Cross I did. He was there. Then I went to the Tri-State one in Pennsylvania, and right, you know, Rodwell raced that one as well. So you know, it was cool, and I learned a lot from him.
Yeah, I saw the. I'm not sure if it was the Asheville or it was one of the ones that Phil Nicoletti did at Racer X. Did a little video on it, and Phil always cracks me up. I forgot what he's saying, you know, that time, but it was something him and Alex Martin there. Talking about the craziness of arena cross, the barn cross.
Yeah, it's definitely pretty. It's some crazy stuff. I mean, it was crazy being there, and then crazy even, you know, racing the pro class there. Because I mean, there's a lot of you know, spotlight on the pro classes at those races. So I mean, there's a bunch of hectic racing going on. Oh, but it was fun. I mean, it was really fun. I had a lot of fun doing those.
Yeah, that was sick. I saw some videos from the last couple of years of that race, and just how aggressive it is. Like, I know, like, arena cross is always super tight and aggressive, but it's, I don't know, it's something about that race where
it's on a different level there.
Yeah, like, it was riders just going at it, like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I was in a couple of races where I was running into the person in front of me, and there was someone running to the back of me. You know what I mean? Like, and, yeah.
Yeah,
it seemed like. I might have made a few enemies too along the way, but I mean, it was fun. It was fun for sure.
It's some more gate drops, I guess. And yeah, seeing some of the drama there. I didn't see anything this year, so I think we're good. But
there wasn't nothing bad, you know, nothing bad.
Oh, okay. Nothing crazy this year though.
No, I didn't. I heard about stories like from the years before, but like this year, there wasn't nothing that I seen. Or heard of.
Yeah, the one I'm thinking of from a couple years ago was Nick Gaines.
Oh, yeah, yep. Yeah.
Then the guy.
Wasn't it Joey Crown, right? Wasn't it Joey? No, it wasn't Joey Crown.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. It was Joey Crown.
Joey Crown and Gaines.
Nick Gaines, yeah.
Yeah, they thought Joey Cross jumped him, but if you watch the tape, and, you know, Joey had a GoPro, and there's some, I think Mike was there. Videoing it, and it was clear that he didn't cross jump, but
yeah,
he did, and a bunch of rednecks yelling at him.
Yeah.
He came off, and I talked to him after that. I had him on the podcast, and he was saying he was in shock because he didn't know he did anything at all. And which, if you watched the tape, he didn't. So
Yeah.
Just flipping out at yelling at him.
Yeah, I heard about that because, my mechanic now is Joe Krimko, and he, he grew up over there, and he did a bunch of the races. He was actually there when that happened, and he's like, yeah, don't hit this guy. And, when I went out there, I just kind of blank out, and I just want to, win. And I ran into him pretty good, and, he kind of looked back at me, and I'm like, when I came out the track, everyone was, kind of waiting there to see if something was going to happen, but he just, I waved to him, like, oh, my apologies, and, we went on our separate ways.
Yeah, it'd be craziness over there. So, would you be in California, and I guess since Justin Hill's on the team, so the PRMX team is both coasts, west and east then?
Yeah. So as of right now, we have, Justin Hill racing 450 class. And then for the 250 riders on the West Coast is me and Hunter Sells. And then on the East Coast is Julian Binnick and Justin Rodbell.
Seems like a pretty solid lineup. And I was just thinking weeks ago, kind of getting back to what we were talking about earlier on, but just how crazy everything was with COVID, right? And it seems like every year there's one coast that's more stacked than the other. And it seems like just over the last 15 years, not every year, obviously, but it seems to me at least that the West Coast is always a little bit more stacked. But last year it was really weird because, it didn't really matter at all because, I think Orlando was a West Coast round. So not like it was actually on the West Coast or whatever. But my point was, that was the East Coast. One of them was crazy stacked compared to.
Yeah, it was West Coast last year for sure. Yeah. I mean, I remember watching and when I say stacked, I mean, there in East Coast, I mean, there are so many privateer, privateers making, the mains, where West Coast, I mean, they're usually all factory riders. You know what I'm trying to say like that?
Yeah, it seemed like
I was. Yeah.
This is somewhat accurate, but the guys that are running in 15th on the West were I bet you they can get top five, looking at the timing and scoring after the East Coast rounds. I was this is so crazy seeing guys that no disrespect to them, but they're getting fifth, and where if they were in the West Coast, they'd barely make the mains. But
yeah.
Yeah. I'm always curious to see how it plays down every year. People, if they wait or, to see who's doing.
Yeah, what. I looked at the lineup for, obviously, Anaheim 1, and I was kind of surprised. I was expecting more, big names to race it. I mean, there's a lot of big names in there, but, I was expecting a lot more people to come. So I think it's going to be pretty even this year,
So. Yeah, hopefully we see that. And it's pretty cool with your team. Doing both coasts and the Club MX team doing both coasts now. So it seems like these satellite teams are in a really good spot to, have a 450 rider, which allows them to, to do both coasts and they kind of, spread everything out a little bit because, Club MX is just an East Coast team and along with, PRMX, they were East Coast only, right? A couple of years ago, I could have swore.
I would have known that.
Last for them, but I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyways, just to kind of get it more even and spread out because last year was crazy and it seemed like every year is kind of a little lopsided one way, but I don't compare to last year because last year the top three guys were equal on both coasts, but just the depth beyond that wasn't really that comparable at all. But
I agree.
So, I guess you don't have experience with the triple crown, but I just want to get all the riders, your input on this. Because as a fan, I know it seems like at least everyone is a big fan of the triple crown races. And I was just wondering what is your input on them taking that out for this year?
I never raced triple crown. I never raced supercross, but I mean, it was definitely something really cool to watch, and it was something different, So I'm pretty sure that brought a lot of like attention to those races and like individual races, you know. But I mean, I don't know like how it's gonna be without them, but
yeah
I mean it'd be cool either way, you know.
Yeah, it seemed the qualifying was a little hectic, but you know, once you, well, heck, every main event was a little bit more hectic, but you know, it seemed pretty cool as a fan. I was always wondering how it
was. Yeah, I mean, I was kind of excited because I really wanted to do this because I mean, like, you know, like shorter main events mean that, you know, people that don't really have the, you know, the endurance will do better in those races. But yeah, I mean, it's not here. So.
Yeah, I don't know why they took it out. Like, I know they took it out.
Yeah.
Last.
Yeah. Honestly, I didn't even realize that. To be honest with you, I didn't even realize like, oh, like there ain't no triple crown. I totally forgot about the triple crown.
Yeah, same. Brought it up. I'm like, holy crap! I totally forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally didn't realize that. But.
Hey guys, we'll be right back right after a quick commercial break. And I also want to give a big shout out to our newest sponsor here on the show, which is Blood Lubricants. As you guys know, it's really important to have really good oil in your bike. Be like Joey Crown, Alex Ray, Kyle Chisholm, Logan Carnow, and the whole SGB Honda team, and many more by using Blood Lubricants. Go over to their website and use code MOTO247 for 25% off on most products they have on there. Again, that's MOTO247 and all caps, MOTO247 for 25% off on most products on their website. Go over there. Their link to their website is in their Instagram bio. So go over there and find them on Instagram as well at Blood Lubricants.
What do you think on all the moves this year? It seems like this year is pretty crazy for riders with teams, with obviously Tomac going the star and
I just watched the preview show, you know, and that's pretty crazy, all the moves this year. I mean, definitely brings more attention, I feel like, to the races, and hopefully we'll get more, you know, people, you know, interested in the sport and everything. Cause I mean, like, it was blowing up like everywhere. Like, oh, on my Instagram, it's like, oh, like he switched here. Oh, he switched here. Oh, you know what I mean? Like all over the place.
Yeah. And all the, you know, all the AP videos out there and everything. And seems like, you know, just bringing some more hype to the sport, which is pretty cool. And, yeah. But, any good Justin Hill stories?
Good Justin Hill stories? Yeah. No, except that he's freaking killing it on the track and that his whip speed is crazy. I mean, yeah. and he's a pretty good golfer, too. I'll say that. He's a pretty good golfer.
I hear a lot of people talking about him. And what did he have, like a year or two off? It was a full year.
Yeah. Actually, I think one of his first times back on a bike is when I raced him up at Top Gun.
And so he's up to speed and everything now.
I mean, on a motocross track, I mean, I did beat him. Like, we raced each other at Top Gun, and I did beat him. So I have him on that one. But supercross track, oh, dude, there ain't no touching him. Like, there ain't even no one close to him, you know, at our practice tracks. I mean, dude, it's just so crazy. Like, I would just sit there and just watch him. And, you know, like, and I'm a visual learner. So, like, you know, he told me when we raced each other at Taco, and he told me that, you know, he can either help out the people that needs help or die with all the knowledge he got. And, you know, it's crazy just sitting there just watching him and all his, like, he's just so smooth, man. Like, it's crazy. Like, just like I do, like, just sitting there watching him is, like, you can learn so much from him.
Yeah. I know he walked away and got, like, a normal job and stuff. And just hearing people, like, I talk about this a lot on this podcast, unfortunately, but just, you know, all the crap from social media, and because everyone kind of has a voice now, or I guess not kind of, but they do, unfortunately. But hearing just random people, like, you know, nobodies, but just saying how he's not gonna, you know, come in looking like anything like he was, you know, previously. And I just found that crazy, just watching that guy ride, just watching his Instagram videos, just how smooth he looks. Him and Josh,
yeah,
crazy, have crazy amount of talent, and they
just,
and there's, I was like, there's no way he's coming back and, you know, not looking like his old self.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, you know, he didn't race for a year, and everyone that comes back after a year, you know, and off, you know, and, you know, like, they get hurt or whatnot, and they, you know, miss a year. But honestly, like, I don't think that's gonna happen to Justin. I think it's gonna, you know what I mean, like, the last year he raced, I mean, he podiumed and everything else, you know, and he didn't get hurt. So, like, that's another thing, you know, he didn't get hurt, you know, he wasn't just, you know, laying on the couch, he was actually up and moving. So, I mean, I you know, he's out there doing 30 lap motos, you know. This dude, he's all fired up about this, and his training program is, you know, off the bike is crazy. And, like, you know, we all train together, you know, on and off the bike, you know, most of the time. So, I'm just trying to follow his, you know, always his routine as much as I can.
Yeah, it's cool to see he's kind of giving back.
Oh, yeah.
Few riders like that that have a lot of knowledge and kind of off topic here, but just seeing the new Bubba's World podcast and just having riders like that, you know, with all their knowledge and everything, you know, give back. And it, you know, Bubba was, you know,
Yeah, James Stewart is actually my favorite all-time rider for sure.
yeah,
I
same here.
loved watching him ride.
Yeah, it kind of killed me when he retired. Then he didn't really say anything. He was kind of like off
Yeah.
grid for like 3 or 4 years. It kind
Yeah,
of
I've always like my dad. If you ask my dad, he'll say like he, you know, James Stewart's my favorite rider, because like I used to always say like, oh my gosh, like James Stewart did this, James Stewart did that, you know, and it'd be cool to talk to him, you know, one day if I ever get the chance to. But yeah.
yeah, just it seems like one of those riders where there's so many fast guys out there, but like just a few of them really make your jaw drop like he does. Like just watching the rhythms he does, it's like, especially
Yeah.
person too. Like, see it on TV, you're like, holy crap. Then you go and
Yeah, and it's, you know, his biggest thing that he was known about, you know, was his whip speed. And you know, like I said, like I was struggling with, I struggle with the whoops, of course, but I'd sit, you know, and watch YouTube videos of him just hitting the whoops over and over and over and over again, you know, just to see how he does it. And like I look at him, like still don't know. I'm like, how does he do it every time every time I watch one.
yeah. Yeah, I don't know what kind of stuff he's on, but you know he's like superhuman. Yeah, I don't know what that guy's crazy, but yeah, it seems like there's one thing, you know, one more thing that kind of went crazy this year was the he's back online now, and it's funny
Yeah.
because you know he's off the grid for a while. Like I think it's kind of hard to do, but yeah, I saw videos with him and Sexton here and there, you know, when he was training him for a bit. But yeah, just to
Yeah, I just heard that I
back
just heard that
up.
they stopped working together. That's
Yes,
crazy to hear too.
thing on Gypsy Tales podcast where he mentioned that. Yeah.
I never heard why though, but yeah.
That's what, yeah, I
That's
was a little
crazy.
curious. I saw their Gypsy Tales little clip on YouTube of it, and I watched like a minute or two of it, and Chase didn't explain why, but there he just said they stopped working together. I don't know when they stopped though, but yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's something
Yeah,
that,
I was wondering too. I was like, damn, that's crazy, but
yeah, he like from what I saw, it just sounded like he just couldn't like explain it really. Like he just had all this, James had all this natural talent, and just, you know, it's hard to explain to someone that can't really, you know, like that has the abilities that he has. I know Chase Sexton's insanely talented as well, but you know, I don't think there's really anyone out there that is like James. You
yeah.
know, on another level for sure.
Definitely one of the baddest dudes to ever race.
Yeah. So I guess going back kind of all over here, but that's how I am. Anyways,
It's all right, man. This is my second podcast actually, so
yeah.
my first one was pretty cool. I mean, you know, but this is my second one. So
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah,
Always all over the place and it kills me, but because I have like normally some notes I just have jotted down, but
yeah.
once I get talking about one thing I'm like, oh my God, I go back and forth. But getting back to this season, so you said everything was going good and everything,
Yeah.
but just what are your goals for the for your rookie Supercross season?
I mean, you know, I you know, it's all about learning, you know. So I did race Hangtown, you know, it was just a learning experience. We didn't put no, you know, no goals, no really nothing out, you know, and just to go and learn. So I learned a bunch from that. So my first goal is, you know, obviously to make a main, you know, and you know, to make a main, you have to make the night show. And I'm not worried about making the night show. Like I'm pretty, you know, confident I'll make an ice show. You know what I mean? Like, but my first, you know, is obviously to make a main, then work up from there. You know, Julian, you know, he's awesome guy to work with. He's the owner of the team. He's an awesome guy to work with. And, you know, he doesn't really put that much pressure on me. He knows I'm a rookie. He knows I'm learning. And he puts up with it. And it just, you know, like I said, my first goal is to make a main and work my way up from there. And I better be making a main, you know, my first couple races. If I don't, then he's going to probably be pretty mad at me. I'm going to be pretty mad at myself too, because I have been working harder than I ever worked. I got a really good team behind me, good people. So, I mean, there really isn't no explanation why should I make a main.
For sure. And kind of touching back on what I said earlier, it just seems like all the satellite teams really got a good setup up, or, you know, going the last couple of years. And I'm really pumped about that. Just as a fan, you know, seeing all these teams get more support, and kind of sucks. It seemed like everything kind of died a little bit back in like 08. When the economy went in the shitter for a while. But even since then, it seemed like nothing really rebounded where on the racing scene, that is, you know. But
I mean, Geico shut down and everything else, you know.
The last couple of years, them.
JGR.
It really sucked. Bad news. But I don't know. It seems like things are getting a little bit better with PRMX. Man, every time I go to say that.
It's kind of a tongue twister.
Yeah. It's like every time I had to say that since we started recording, I had to really.
Yeah.
But yeah, with them and Club MX, you know, going and expanding, and it seems like things are really looking good for the motocross industry.
Yeah. I mean, I hope for the best, you know, of course.
So everything for your guys' plans just is going on, how the season goes, and if you guys go up to Canada, because they have a. Are they still doing the arena cross and supercross up there still, do you know?
I don't know, man.
Kind of went on, but I didn't see anything lately.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like, you know, Julian told me, you know, we're focused on what's in front of us right now. So, you know, we're focused on supercross, and after we get done with this, we'll talk more about, you know, what we're going to do after.
For sure. It seems like a good thing to do, especially, you know, want to be kind of too all over the place, you know, your first season and stuff. But
yeah.
It seems like,
I mean, you know, like, there's so much on my mind right now, because I just don't know, like, you know, like all the stuff that, you know, that you do, all the science, you know what I mean, like, everything's all new to me. So like, it's definitely a bunch. And you know, I have ADHD and all that stuff, so like, I'm here for a second and somewhere else the next. So it's, you know, I have to focus, like, really put my mind to focusing on everything. So, yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah, for sure. I can't even imagine just trying to get the whole routine of everything and supercross and stuff. And just how was that, just the jump from, like, I feel like a broken record, but I said, you know, touched on this earlier, but I think we touched on it a little bit, but was just the amateur, the pro. But just how was the jump with that? From the length of the motos, like going from your amateur races to that are, you know, a couple laps long to the full on 30+2.
My last, you know, in January I turned amateur pro, so A class, and you know, those motos are pretty equivalent. I, you know, if anything, they're 5 minutes shorter. So like, I went out, like, you know, 5 to 10 minutes shorter than the actual pro race. And you know, like, I did a couple of the big nationals this year. I did as many as I could, but I was doing it, you know, on, I put my own, really, I put my own program together this year, or, and, you know, leading up to when I got into PRMX, kind of my own program. So we did as many as we could, you know, and, you know, those motos were longer than, you know, B class motos. And then, like I said, I raced Hangtown, and, man, dude, Hangtown, that was, you know, I think, you know, 30+1 or 2 laps or something like that, 30+1. Mm-hmm. And, man, dude, that was a long moto, and it was two of them. So, yeah, those were definitely long. And, you know, so that just means you have to train harder on and off the bike. You know, on the bike, you need to do longer motos. So, Yeah, I mean it's definitely a big shift, but you just put your, you work harder, then it'll be easier.
And with that new rule of what's that new rule of there's a certain amount of pro points you can score without getting booted out of the amateur ranks. And
Yeah.
did you get to take advantage of that?
No, so I actually got bumped out of B class because my last year, 2020, was JMC, and I won a lot of B championships. So they actually come January, like December time, I actually got bumped out of the B class and I had to race A class. But then, I mean, honestly, like my A class year, so this year I really didn't do that good. Especially at Loretta's, I didn't do that good. I got like I'm talking about before Loretta's. I got like a couple like top tens at some pretty big nationals, but nothing to like amaze people, sponsors and whatnot. Sorry, I was off topic, but yeah.
No problem. That's a, I'm all about that. Wherever we go here, I don't care. I'm all over the place.
I totally just blanked out, my bad.
No, you're fine. That's what I'm catching myself as it's like whenever whatever co-host I have, if it was Dean or not, I'm just like I feel bad for you guys. I'm just all over the place because I just. It seems like all of us
Course.
at MotoTorch7 just love Moto, and
Yeah.
it doesn't
Yeah,
matter.
you got quite a good following too on you, man. That's great to see,
Yeah, I'm really pumped about it. Got this thing going like 2 years ago now. It kind of seems weird, but it doesn't feel like that long at all. But yeah, it's
Yeah.
going pretty good. And, really digging the podcast thing. It kind of sucks because everyone's doing them now, so
Yeah.
kind of feels like
Yeah,
I.
when you first started 2 years ago, I mean, you're probably like one of the the very few doing them. Now everyone does them,
Yeah, like I kind of jumped on the bandwagon for podcasting, but like I was at the beginning, so like
Yeah, 2 years ago, I mean.
I'm a little bit better, so I'm not as bad as everyone else. But no, yeah, it wasn't as crazy as it is now with everyone doing them, but it's still, people are getting into them and stuff. But yeah, it's crazy to see because yeah, I started this thing off and not the podcast, but just the page in general, in
Yeah.
2014, and yeah, it's come a long way. Have a fantasy
That's cool
super,
to see.
yeah, and then having this. So yeah, it's always fun things, and yeah, it's definitely trying to get more of these going. Because yeah, with I think the 2 years we've had, almost exactly 2 years, from our first episode, I think we've only been like 30. This is our 31st episode here. So yeah, definitely have to get
And
going more. And yeah.
where do you post them at?
These go to Spotify, Apple, pretty much every podcast platform. It's audio only right
Yeah.
now, unfortunately. So
Yeah.
it's that, and I have like part of them on YouTube, but it's just like clips of it. So I just have to work on getting that going, and
Yeah.
hoping to get like actual like cameras up in here. But
That'd be
not
pretty sick.
yeah, that'd be pretty cool. But I definitely before that happens, I feel like I need to get this thing going a little bit better than I have to. Right now, for sure, but and post some stuff on YouTube because right now it's only audio YouTube, audio only on YouTube, so it kind of sucks. But it's definitely better than nothing, getting it up there.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, one last thing I guess we'll touch on here is some more not drama, but just some more news that's been going around the rumor mill of. That's, I guess, not a rumor no more, but just the whole thing with the FIM and what's your thoughts on the FIM leaving Supercross over here in the States, and then what's your thoughts on them actually finding a series over in Europe that they picked up and that are they're doing their own thing now, or at least plan to.
I think that was crazy news to hear too, and like I didn't really read up much on that. I just seen that they left, but I'm kind of anxious to hear about what's gonna happen, to everything else to Supercross and what's gonna happen because I know that they're a big key, to all the our races and stuff. So I'm kind of worried about it a little bit, but it is what it is. I'm gonna go wherever, racing is, so.
Yeah, for sure. And I was talking about it on the pod here a couple episodes ago, and they're just saying how who knows? It might be something good for a lot of privateers where, instead of, you know, I know a lot of privateers go to arena cross now, but it's kind of weird without the normal, you know, AMSOIL arena cross that was here for years.
Yeah.
It seems like things a little bit different now with the two different series, but it seems like they're getting going again. So that's another, you know, option for riders and stuff. And then just if that the other championship gets going by the FIM over and somewhere in Europe, it's who knows, that might be, you know, create some more jobs of, for some privateers as well. So
yeah,
I've been really curious to see how this whole thing plays out, if it's gonna take, you know, some factory riders away from the States here, but who knows, it might be something good for, you know, for some privateers to go and you know, go over there. And I think the promoter who picked it up was the one that did all the Australian, you know, the Aussex Open and stuff too. So it seems like they had a really good setup going on too before the whole COVID lockdown as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, no matter what though, you know, like I said, like, you know, I'm going to be going wherever racing is. So, I just think it's crazy. It's going to be a big change, of course. Mm-hmm. You know, no matter what happens, it's going to be a big change.
Yeah. Hopefully nothing too crazy or drastic or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like everything's set in stone pretty much for, you know, Supercross and Moto over here. Then, just talking about the GPs over, you know, in Europe, and mentioned here on the pod before, just like wonder if there ever be a time where, you know, the Europeans Supercross in their schedule. So, which thinking about it now, I don't think they will soon, but you know, who knows with all the crazy going on, but yeah, I don't think that'll happen. But yeah, I was curious to see after that pulled out of the Supercross over here that Feld does. So yeah, I was happy to see they pulled out, but then after they found a new promoter over there, I'm like, oh crap. Yeah, who knows? It could be a good thing for, you know, over here and just racing in general, I should say.
Thank you guys so much for listening to episode 31 of the Moto 247 show with guest Brandon Ray. It was definitely a good one. I had a lot of fun doing it. If you don't already follow us on Instagram, I would recommend going over there and giving us a follow. I would definitely appreciate it. You can find us there at moto.247. Then our podcast page is on there as well at the Moto 247 show. So anyways, thank you guys again for listening to this episode. Peace out, guys.